الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praises due to Allah, and may Allah send His peace and blessings upon His Prophet and His slave Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We continue with Surah Al-Kahf, and we are actually towards the end. Reminding you, inshallah, that when we do complete the surah, we will go back to the beginning of the book, the tafsir. And the only reason why we started with Al-Kahf is because we were supposed to, or we are recommended to recite it every Jumu'ah. And so we thought it was only fit that we understand what we are reciting. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا أولئك الذين كفروا بآيات ربهم ولقائه فحبطت أعمالهم فلا نقيم لهم يوم القيامة وزنا ذلك جزاؤهم جهنم بما كفروا واتخذوا آياتي ورسلي هزوا. Someone kindly read from verses 103 to 106 in English with a loud voice, and everybody else maintain silence.
Say,
MashaAllah,
shall we take the pages to them in respect of their deeds?
Hey, Allah Musta'an.
Those whose efforts had been wasted in Islam, while they thought that they were acquiring good by their deeds. They are those who deny the hayat of their Lord and the meeting with Him. So their words are in vain, and on the day of resurrection, we shall assign no weight for them. That shall be their recompense, hell, because they disbelieved and took my ayat and my messengers for guests.
JazakAllah khair. Before I mention the tafsir of the Shaykh, let it be known that this verse applies to a number of people. Being on the top of the list, every kafir, every disbeliever who assumes that in his life he's accumulating good deeds, whether they are giving charity or keeping the kinship ties or doing the so-called prayer that they have or whether they fast, any act of worship in their context that they think is actually going to take him to paradise, this verse applies to them. And Allah says, shall we inform you about those who are lost their deeds in the worst way, those whom their effort in this life has been wasted while they think that they are upon goodness, while they think that they are doing good. The Shaykh As-Sa'di rahimahullah said, أي وعليكم السلام تفضل قل يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم للناس على وجه التحذير والإنذار هل أخبركم بأخسر الناس أعمالا على الإطلاق. Allah عز وجل saying, يا شباب, say, O Muhammad, say to the people as a form of warning and threat, shall I not inform you about those who have ultimately lost, those whom their deeds are ultimately lost? الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا أي بطل واضمحل كل ما عملوه من عمل يحسبون أنهم محسنون في صنعه فكيف بأعمالهم التي يعلمون أنها باطلة وأنها محادة لله ورسله ومعادات فمن هم هؤلاء الذين خسرت أعمالهم خسروا أنفسهم وأهليهم يوم القيامة ألا ذلك هو الخسران المبين. The Shaykh said, meaning their deeds have been voided and disintegrated. Every single action that they have done, from the deeds that they think are rewarding. From the deeds that they think are rewarding. He says, if this is the case with these deeds, then what do you say about the deeds that they do know that it is evil? Yani, if the good deeds that they think are going to get them closer to Allah, this is their condition. Then what about the bad deeds that they know that they are opposing Allah and His messengers in them? And it's a form of animosity. Who are those who have lost their deeds? Allah tells us in another verse in the Quran, those who lose themselves and their families on the Day of Judgment, verily that is their clear loss. أولئك الذين كفروا بآيات ربهم ولقائه. أي جحدوا الآيات القرآنية والآيات العيانية الدالة على وجوب الإيمان به وبملائكته ورسله وكتبه واليوم الآخر. Regarding the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, interpretation of the meaning, though it is those who have disbelieved in the signs or the verses of their Lord and in His meeting. He says, they have denied the Quranic verses. Yani, if you go to a Christian and you tell him this Quran is from Allah and these verses are the words of Allah and this is the revelation from Allah, and they deny that without any excuse, without finding any valid reason, such as, oh no, it contradicts science, it contradicts itself, it's something, it doesn't make sense, right? Nothing really, but just mere rejection. Those are the people who their deeds will be lost in this life. Also, not only the Quranic verses, but also the visual signs. What is intended by visual signs is everything. Welcome, salam. I see the food in your mouth. Is everything that exists. Hey, is everything that exists in this dunya that when you see it, it's an indication that la ilaha illallah. Yani when you sometimes when you go drive by, you know, you drive in a new car and you see some tree, some amazing looking tree. We seen it the other day. It's like this. It's the way it is spread. You know, you just say subhanallah. Or if you go fishing and you go dive in the ocean and you look at the fish and how they are, or if you see anything, it's an indication of la ilaha illallah. So these people reject the Quranic verses, the revelation from Allah, and they reject the things that indicate that la ilaha illallah. And they say that Allah has children, has partners, and they dedicate their love and worship to cows and monkeys and trees and rocks, as the Hindus do. They have a million gods, and then the Christians have three gods, and then the Jews have their desires as their god, and everyone has his own set of disbelief and rejection and being blinded to the truth, except Muslims, alhamdulillah. So all these visual signs that indicate that you're supposed to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, His angels, His messengers, His books, and the Day of Judgment. So what is the result of that? فَحَبِطَتْ بِسَبَبِ ذَٰلِكَ أَعْمَالُهُمْ وَعَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا لِأَنَّ الْوَزْنَ فَائِدَتَهُ مُقَابَلَةِ الْحَسَنَاتِ بِالسَّيِّئَاتِ والنظر في الراجح منها والمرجوح وهؤلاء لا حسنات لهم لعدم شرطها وهو الإيمان. Very important. Hey, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that their deeds have been voided. طيب. So on the Day of Judgment they will be given no weight. Alaykum salam. They will be given no weight. Why? The Shaykh Rahimullah said the benefit of the weighing, the scale, طيب, is where the good deeds are put on one side and the bad deeds are put on the other side, right? And they, whichever one outweighs the other one, you will wind up in that. Surah al, everybody should know it. ويكون الناس ويكون يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المفدود وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية. As for the one whom his scales are heavy, he is in a good pleasant life. وأما من خفت موازينه, as for the one whose scale is light, فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار الحمى والعياذ بالله, then the hellfire. So this, the weight will be, the deeds will be scaled. According to some scholars, the person himself will be scaled. The person himself will be scaled along with his deeds. There's a difference of opinion among the scholars regarding what exactly will be weighed. Regardless of the situation, we understand that the affairs of the hereafter are not measured according to the affairs of the dunya. If your mind cannot understand how a person can be weighed in this dunya, don't worry about it. Because the hereafter is not like the dunya. Because the Prophet ﷺ told Ibn Mas'ud, when they made fun of his skinny legs, he said, verily they are heavier than the mountain of Uhud on the Day of Judgment. So he gave the weight to his legs. Right? And another hadith he said, verily on the Day of Judgment, the fat man will be brought And he will be put on the scale, and he will not weigh in the sight of Allah the wing of a mosquito. Indication that the man himself, the person, will be weighed along with his deeds. Regardless of the difference of opinion that the scholars have, our objective is, when these people, the objective of the scale is to put the good deeds versus the bad deeds, for one of them to outweigh each other. These people don't have any good deeds, so there's no point. Allah says, we will not even give them any scale. They will not even have any weighing, because they do not have any good deeds. All they have is bad deeds. Why do they not have any good deeds? Because there's a condition that you need to have in order for your good deeds to register for you. Does anyone know what it is?
It should be done for all the state.
No. Even more basic than that. As far as a disbeliever is concerned.
Disbeliever?
Any disbeliever. Let's say a disbeliever is driving by his car. He sees somebody asking for money. He takes out 5 riyals. He gives it to them. Is this written on his book of good deeds?
No.
Who said yes?
Yes, me.
Really? Tayyip. Is it going to be, he may get rewarded for it in the dunya.
Yes.
Does he get anything in the hereafter?
No.
What's missing?
La ilaha illallah.
Iman.
Iman. Faith.
La ilaha illallah is Iman, everything that is included in that. So the condition, which is faith, proper faith, not any faith, because people have faith in a tree. So we're talking about the faith that will, the faith of salvation, the faith of the six pillars of faith. If it's not available, then that their deeds are void because you're missing the condition. Let me make this simple for you, because some people don't understand this concept. We are verse 103 or 4. Let me make this simple for you. You go to a school. You go to a school.
Yes.
They ask you to registrate. So you need to pay a registration, there's a tuition fee. Then you can attend the classes, then you will get the examination, then you will get your diploma. You are Mr. Funny Guy. You go to the class, you don't go to the office, they don't have your name, they don't know nothing about you. You don't pay a single halala, but you attend the classes. You keep attending the classes, at the end of the year, they only give the examination with the name of the student. The teacher gives everyone an examination, you're sitting here with nothing. You say, where's my examination? He says, who are you? I am Robert Batikh. Well, you don't have no Robert Batikh in this class, man. Here's the list of students, you ain't here. Show me the receipt. Did you pay for the tuition? No. Inshallah, you stay there for 10 years with the class. You will not get no diploma. Because you had a condition to register to pay the tuition fees. Otherwise, your presence, you're there. You're doing the deed, you're learning, but you will not get what you're looking for. Why? Because you're missing a condition. No one will debate that. No one will say, oh, come on, you have to give him some. No, you can't. Because that's not fair. These people paid money, they went to the office, they waited in line, they went through all this hassle. You want to treat these two people equally? He doesn't go and he wants to get the same thing they're getting? This is injustice, right? In case a disbeliever has a misconception. So how come you're letting it happen in the hereafter? They say, oh come on, God, he's going to let someone who did all these good deeds in his life, Mother Teresa. You know Mother Teresa?
Yes.
You're going to tell me Mother Teresa, man, is going to go to the fire? Yes, man. Forever. She will burn. Why? She was a disbeliever. Disbeliever. Actually, according to a CNN report, she doubted God in her Christianity, in her personal letters. She said, I'm seeking for God, and I seem to have this emptiness inside. And I do not want... Wallah al-Azim, her own statements, this is an indication that a kafir is never truly upon guidance, even if he claims it outwardly. At least she was honest to express her reality. She was saying there's emptiness. She feels something is missing. She doesn't really feel right. On CNN, I'm not getting this from any Islamic source. Go to CNN, go to the search, put Mother Teresa, personal letters,
yes, sir.
And see the link. I've read it in my own, I have it on an email. She declared her disbelief on numerous occasions in Christianity, where she didn't even know God. At one point she denied the concept of God. Why? Because she's upon dalal, upon misguidance. Even if she appears to be nice to the people, she doesn't have a relationship with Allah. She has a relationship with the slaves of Allah, thinking that they are Allah. It doesn't work this way. So be careful of the nice adorned things where the people, you know, say, oh, Mother Teresa, she has to go to Jannah. Ma'alesh, even if she's a Christian, but she was a nice lady, no. She didn't pay the tuition. She didn't bother to register. She was asked, advised, invited, and she stayed away. She knew, she contacted Muslims. Anyone knows what Islam is, and they must know La ilaha illallah. And once she felt this emptiness, she should have sought the truth. That's the least to say. I mean, she was feeling awkward, and she was looking for God. According to, I wish I could remember the own quotation, some very dangerous statements. Why don't you search for the truth if you know that you're not upon it? Anyways, this is what is intended. Iman is a condition for the deed to be accepted. If you don't have iman, you don't have no deeds. They look outwardly, they appear to be deeds. Inwardly, in essence, nothing. Likewise, a disbeliever on the Day of Judgment. The scale is not necessary because you have not even a single good deed to be put here in order to weigh them out. All you have is bad deeds, wal-iyadu billah. And why? Because the son of Adam was created to believe and he disbelieved. See why it is severe? The son of Adam was created only to believe.
Salaam alaikum.
Waalaikum salam. And he busied his whole life. He busied his whole life with everything but belief. Or even worse, false belief. If he didn't believe anything, maybe have a problem. But false belief. So what do you expect? Yes, sir.
And how about this hadith about the prostitute woman who gave water to a dog?
Yes. Yes.
Said that she will go to Jannah because of that act.
She was a believer. She was. You could be a believer and be a prostitute. You could be a believer and be a thief. You could be a believer and be an adulterer. You could be a believer and be a lot of wicked things. But you're still a believer. There's nothing in the hadith that indicates that she was not. Actually says that she was from the Jews. She was from the Jews. And this was the Prophet ﷺ narrating this event at her time, not after his prophethood. This is something in the past. So she was a believer who was a prostitute. But because of her kindness towards the creation of Allah and Allah's merciful, Allah chose to forgive her. Otherwise, the Quran and the Sunnah don't contradict themselves. You have to understand that. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah does not forgive that he is associated with. He does not forgive that. But he forgives whatever is lesser than that to whomever he wants. This is the verse here. It cannot be contradicted with anything. So the Quran and the Sunnah, they're all comprehensive. When you look at them, you look at the whole picture, not at only one narration. You understand the narration in the light of the other narrations and in the light of the Quran. Everything is harmonious. There's no like this. Otherwise people long time ago would have left Islam. But what is required is a student of knowledge or a scholar who knows more than me and you know. See what I'm saying? If we don't know, we read one hadith, we will think something. But a scholar knows verses, narrations that explain one another, and the general understanding is deduced from a number of textual evidences. Among them is this one I told you. We know that Allah does not forgive shirk. So it is impossible that a woman will be forgiven shirk because she gave dog a sip of water while she is a disbeliever in Allah. It is clear that she is a believer, but she was wicked. But she attained the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jalla with a merciful act that she performed towards the creation of Allah. But she is a believer. She was among the believers. And the examples of that are too many. Tayyib. So basically this is what is intended here, that iman is a condition for our deeds. Once you lack iman, then you have no deeds. Even if you have outwardly what appears to be deeds. So the Shaykh said, rahimahullah, these people, their good deeds are void because they are missing the condition which is iman. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَا يَخَافُ ظُلْمًا وَلَا هَضْمًا. And for whomever does righteous deeds while a believer, while a believer, then they shall not fear any oppression or any of their deeds being taken away. So Allah made it a condition, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, while he's a believer. This is a condition that Allah mentioned in another verse. Not anyone who does good deeds. That's why you always hear in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Verily those who believe and do righteous deeds. Huh? It's always their belief being conditional to righteous deeds. In Surah Al-Isra, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَ لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُ مَشْكُورًا. Allah says, and as for the one who seeks the hereafter, and he strives for it while a believer, then verily those, their striving will be appreciated or thanked by Allah, meaning they will be rewarded for it. Again, the condition, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, while a believer. So belief is a condition. Otherwise, without it, you don't get nothing. لكن تعد أعمالهم وتحصى ويقررون بها ويخزون بها على رؤوس الأشهاد ثم يعذبون عليها. But what will happen to them, والعياذ بالله, on the day of judgment is that their deeds will be counted, their evil deeds, and it will be accumulated, and then they will be made to admit it. They will be made to admit, confess that they have committed these sins in this dunya. And if you read the Quran, you will find in the various occasions where the disbelievers on the day of judgment will try to change their situation. Say, oh Allah, we followed our leaders. Oh Allah, take us back to the dunya. If we go back to the dunya, we will change our affairs. Oh Allah, we have oppressed ourselves. Oh Allah, we admit that we have done such and such. Oh Allah, we will not worship anyone besides you. All these claims that the disbelievers will say on the day of judgment, after they will see with their own eyes the truth. They know it now, but they put it aside. On the day of judgment, they will wish they could revive it. But it will be too late. Yet their deeds will be mentioned to them, and they will be made to admit them. Then they will be disgraced by these deeds on with their witnesses, in front of all the people witnessing. Because the day of judgment, ya akhwan, the same way we are sitting here right now, we will be sitting like this with the rest of the creation. And we're not talking about the people on earth right now, we're talking about the people from the time of Adam alayhi salatu salam until the day of judgment. Allahu alam how many these people are in numbers. Everybody will be on the same plane, same location. And if one calls out, the person that is near will hear just as clear as the person that is far. And you will see the people all at the same time. You know, because the earth right now is round. So when you look in a long distance, you don't see everything, right? Things just seem to just fall off. On the day of judgment, everybody will just be, you'll see the one here like you see the one over there. It will be one flat surface. Of course, the believers will be divided, and the disbelievers each will have, as Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that a caller will say, let each community follow that whom they used to worship. So every community will follow. The Hindus will follow their cows and their monkeys, and the Christians will follow the cross, because Jesus alayhi salam is free from all that. And everybody will follow their own thing except the Muslims. They will say, we will wait for our Lord. We will wait for our Lord, because they know that there's nothing around the sun, nothing can be followed. Right? The hadith is very nice actually. It deals with the event of the Day of Judgment. Nonetheless, when these people will be disgraced, they will be disgraced publicly. Publicly. Whereas the believer, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, Allah will bring him near to him on the Day of Judgment. Allah will bring the believer near to him, and he will say, my servant, you have done such and such on that day. Sin. He says, yes, my Lord. And you have done such and such sin on that day. Yes, my Lord. And Allah Azza wa Jal will enumerate for him all the sins that he has committed. And then the servant will admit to them, and he will think that he is destroyed. He will think, after he confessed to all these, he will think he is destroyed. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will tell him, I had concealed them for you in the dunya, and I shall forgive you today. And then that person will be taken to paradise. This is the treatment of the believer on the day of judgment. That of honor, Allah will not embarrass them publicly. Whereas the disbeliever, it will be done in the open. So much so that the people will say, these are the people who lied against Allah. The believers will say, these are the people who lied against Allah. Verily the curse of Allah be upon the disbelievers. Those who denied Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or those who denied any of the pillars of faith. طيب. So the Shaykh said, ذلك جزاؤهم أي حبوط أعمالهم وأنه لا يقام لهم يوم القيامة وزنا لحقارتهم وخستهم بكفرهم بآيات الله واتخاذهم آياته ورسله هزوا يستهزئون بها ويسخرون منها ومع أن الواجب في آيات الله ورسله الإيمان التام بها والتعظيم لها والقيام بها أتم القيام وهؤلاء عكسوا القضية فانعكس أمرهم وتعسوا وانتكسوا في العذاب والعياذ بالله. الشيخ رحمه الله said that which was mentioned, that's what Allah says, ذلك جزاؤهم, this is their reward, which is what? Then their deeds being voided, and that it will have no weight on the Day of Judgment. Why? Because of how unimportant and how unintelligent they were. Because they disbelieved in the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not only that, they took Allah and His signs, and they took His signs and His messengers and His verses, huzuwan, mockery, yastahzi'una biha wa yaskharuna minha. They make fun of it, as you see today, as those Danish or the Denmark, whatever this, I don't, you don't even have to remember this silly country, as they made fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, this is not a joke, man. From among all the people on earth that you could write, draw a cartoon, you want to get Osama bin Laden, we say we understand there's a shubha about this particular individual. You want to catch a regular Muslim, tayyib. But you choose Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from all of the creation to draw some cartoon about and make fun of him, and he's the messenger of Allah. You deny him, that's one problem. But you also want to make fun of him? Yani how wicked can you get? A'udhu billah. But it's just as Allah said. That's what they used to do. They used to make fun of Allah and His messengers. Huh? You tell the Christians, yeah, Allah, this Allah is for you. No Allah. I don't believe in Allah. Don't mention Allah to me. You hear this? We have our own Father, Son and Holy Ghost. Don't give me no other formula. Even if it doesn't make sense, the Trinity. Even if you ask them to explain it and they fail to explain it. Even after you show them mathematically and logically that Trinity does not make any sense, they will insist and be stubborn and prideful and arrogant and reject the truth that is with you and remain upon their falsehood with no valid reason. And they want to enter Jannah, and they want things to be dandy on the Day of Judgment. I don't understand how people think this way. Alhamdulillah, that gave us an understanding that makes us recognize the truth is truth and follow it, and the falsehood is falsehood and avoid it. It's a gift from Allah. None of us is really intelligent enough to figure it out. It's guidance from Allah. But everyone must have wanted guidance here. That's the difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. A Muslim who became a Muslim at one point wanted guidance. At one point he was like, look man, oh God guide me, I don't know. This is the point, this is the turning point where a person becomes a Muslim. When he really asks. But the problem is when they don't even humble themselves to this extent. They are confident and they have nothing to be confident about. We can be confident. Right now as a Muslim, do you say, oh Allah guide me to the truth if it's other than Islam? Impossible. Because you know with certainty, there's nothing but Islam. But when you are a disbeliever, you don't have no foundation that you could really feel that secure about. You know, if you just read the Bible and you read the contradiction, you will have to think twice whether you are really could ask God not to guide you, because you're sure that you're guided. You cannot. Because all of the indications is that the resource that you have is really weak. The foundation is weak. So you have to ask for guidance. We don't have this problem in Islam. After you read the Quran, say, man, this is even more clear than anything. I cannot imagine anything else. Your mind does not accept anything else being the salvation right now. What is it going to be? Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity? Could it possibly be that? Or could it be believing in Allah, in His uniqueness, in His oneness, His messengers, His books, His angels, the Day of Judgment? What? I mean, come on. There's no ground for comparison between Islam and others. Alhamdulillah. Anyways, they used to make fun of the signs of Allah and His messengers. Although it was upon them, what should have been their condition is that they should have honored it and believed in it. Believed in it and honored it. And fulfilled its obligations in the best way possible. But these people have very twisted their situation around, so their situation became twisted on the Day of Judgment. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. So then they will be remaining in humility in the punishment wal iyadu billah. وَلَمَّا بَيَّنَ مَآلَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَأَعْمَالِهِمْ بَيَّنَ أَعْمَالَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَآلِهِمْ. Now the sunnah or the way of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran is that He always mentions both sides. So you will find often in the Quran Allah mentions the situation of the disbelievers than that of the believers. He will describe Jahannam, then will describe Jannah. He will describe the good people, then He will describe the evil people. It's always like that. A comparison is being made between both for you to understand the various differences between them. This is among the wisdom. Also it's called Targheeb wa Tarheeb. To encourage a person to be among the successful ones and to threaten a person for being among the evil ones. So after Allah Azza wa Jalla described to us the condition, shall I inform you about those who have lost their deeds in their worst way possible on the Day of Judgment, those who have such and such and such. Now after Allah Azza wa Jalla concluded with their condition, we move on to the condition of the believers. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. Someone can you recite verses 107-108 please? In English.
Those who believe in the oneness of Allah and the righteous deed shall have the garden of the paradise for their entertainment, wherein they shall dwell forever. No desire will they have for removal therefrom.
يقول الشيخ رحمه الله أي إن الذين آمنوا بقلوبهم وعملوا الصالحات بجوارحهم وشمل هذا الوصف جميع الدين عقائده وأعماله وأصوله وفروعه الظاهرة والباطنة فهؤلاء على اختلاف طبقاتهم من الإيمان والعمل الصالح لهم جنات الفردوس. طيب, the Sheikh said رحمه الله, what is intended meaning those who have believed with their hearts. Believed with their hearts. When you believe in your heart, it should translate into action, right or wrong? So, if you hear the muezzin call the adhan, and you're sitting there flipping through the TV channels, accuse yourself of having low iman. If the muezzin is calling the adhan, and you're sitting there dribbling a basketball between your legs, accuse yourself of having low iman. Waalaikum salam. If the people are in the state of salah and you're still finishing the cool conversation with your phone on the phone with your friend about nothing, accuse yourself of having low iman. Had the iman been sound, it would have translated into action. Had it been good here, it would have became good here. And this includes everything outwardly. From the, you know what I'm saying, I'm not going to go there. Iman, if it's good here, you will see something outside. Whether appearance-wise or actions-wise. But as for the Muslims, because you see some Muslims who tell your sister, fear Allah, put on a hijab, says, iman is here. Allah doesn't look at my appearance, Allah looks at my heart. I believe, I have strong belief in Allah. Say, you have life. You have life. You can tell me that. Yes. But these words just fall apart. I don't buy it. No one will buy it. Had you truly believed, you would have obeyed Allah. Allah is the one who told you to put on a hijab. It's not me. So you claim that you believe in Allah. If you believe that Allah, He commanded you something, how could you not care about it? You may say, wallahi, I'm weak. Make dua for me. I want to do it, but shaitan is you know, overpowering me. Something, say, have a problem. Say, alhamdulillah, at least she's honest. You know what I'm saying? She's being honest. She may have some iman, and she may have some strong battles with the shaitan she's not able to currently overcome. That's one scenario. But the other scenario where, like, she's confident, no, I'm okay. I don't need to put on her hijab. Iman is here. This is all false speech. Don't buy it. Had the iman been sound in here, it would have translated into action. So the Shaykh here said, verily those who believed with their hearts and did righteous deeds with their limbs, and this became the description of their whole way of life. Not temporarily, not 20%, their whole life, their whole way of life, their whole being, their whole religion, if you want to translate it as religion, became a description of that. Iman and righteous deeds. Belief and righteous deeds. And what is intended by that? Everything that is included, which is from the creed, the aqidah, al-a'mal, the actions of the deen. Usulihi, the principles of the deen. Furu'ihi, the branches of the deen. The outwardly things, the inwardly things. All of this is included. All of this is included. Now these people whom Allah described, regardless of their variation, because everybody's a believer, inshallah. Yet, we're not equal. We're not equal. Not everybody has the exact same belief, which translates to the exact same righteous deeds, right or wrong. You will find some people.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. You will find that some righteous deeds, some people exceed others in deeds. Why? Because the iman is not consistent between the people. But everybody gets the good news. Because Allah says, verily those who believe and do righteous deeds, they will have Firdaus. The Jannah, the paradise of Firdaus as their abode. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Tayyib. يحتمل أن المراد بالجنات بجنات الفردوس أعلى الجنة وأوسطها وأفضلها، وأن هذا الثواب لمن كمل إيمانه أو لمن كمل الإيمان والعمل الصالح وهم الأنبياء والمقربون. Now we have an issue here. What is the issue? The verse says that they will have Firdaus. Are you familiar with Firdaus?
Yes.
Is for the, where is Firdaus? Under the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? Can anyone go there?
Inshallah.
Anyone?
No, not anyone.
Hey, this is for the high caliber. This is for the VIP. Really? VIP?
Everyone can go there, but not everyone.
Right, and exactly. Anyone can go there, but not everyone. Because the believers will be at various levels of Jannah. Even the companions, man. This is where we need to really check ourselves. You know this hadith? I don't recall the name of the companion. May Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet ﷺ walked upon him, and he found him crying and sad. Huh? He told him, "What is it that makes you sad?" He said, "I think of you, O Messenger of Allah. I think of you and I miss you. And I yearn to see you," right? I think of you, I miss you, and I want to see you. And this is in this dunya. Yani it's possible. I wait, I go visit you, I see you. But then when you die and I die, if I go to Jannah and you go to Jannah, you will be in the highest level of Jannah. And I will not be in the highest level of Jannah. And so he said at the dunya that if he dies and goes to Jannah, he will not be able to be with the Prophet ﷺ because he misses him already in the dunya. So the Prophet ﷺ, there's more than one narration. In one narration he said, "Verily you are with the one whom you love." You will be with the one whom you love. Yani if you love me, then don't worry, you will get there. In another narration, he said, help me regarding your condition by bikathrati sujood, by prostrating a lot. Yani do a lot of salah, meaning earn it. You will get there inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. I'll
take it.
Mia. Barakallah. Wafakakallah.
MashaAllah.
Hey. Alhamdulillah. Zakallah khair, Shaykh Yusuf. Hey. So the Jannah al-Firdaus is the highest level in Jannah. Right? Not for everyone. Everyone, as the brother said, that's a good way to put it. Anyone can get there, but not everyone is going to go there. Right? There will be levels in Jannah. Levels, very levels, depending on how righteous. But what's the good news about this? The good news about this is no matter how low you are, you will think you're the best. The last person to enter Jannah, as it comes in narration, I believe it's in Bukhari and Muslim, is a person who would barely make it from the fire. He'll be walking on the Sirat. Sirat is that bridge that will be set over Jahannam al-Iyadu Billah, where the people will cross it to go to Jannah. Some people will go like the lightning in speed, some will go like a horse, and the narration is detailed, and it's more sharp than a sword, and more thin than a hair. And it has these things on the sides of it. It's a very rough description. Anyways, so the last person under Jannah, he will fall sometime in the fire, because the fire is right under him. It will splash him a little bit. Then he will get up again. He will barely cross, barely make it to the other side. The narration is long. The bottom line of it is, after he asked Allah to get him closer to Jannah with the tree, you know the hadith, finally he goes to Jannah. Allah tell him, what would make you pleased? What would please you? Would it please you that I give you the dunya times 10? This whole dunya times 10. Yeah, think of all the Lamborghinis, think of all the castles, think of all the whatever you want to think of goodness. Multiplied by not on one country, in the whole earth. Multiplied by 10, this is the last believer to enter Jannah. يعني the one who مشي حالك مشي حالك على طول, he will enter Jannah, he will say, oh, no one has been given more than me. No one has been given more than me. He will think no one has anything better. Everybody else is having some triple, quadruple, 50 times what he has, but Allah will remove from the hearts of the believers this feeling of envy. Or this feeling of deficiency, meaning, oh, I wish only, I wish, no, I wish. Everybody will be pleased 100% with what they have. So what we understand from this is, don't worry. Whether you go to Firdaus or not, if we make it to Jannah, we're good. But we want to go for the highest, so we can be with the prophets and the messengers. Now this verse says, verily those who believe and do righteous deeds, they will have Firdaus. How could that be understood? That means everyone. That means everyone who believes and does righteous deeds is no longer for the elite. Now the Shaykh, he gives his own interpretation of what could be intended by this particular verse. He says, possibly what is intended here is that Jannat al-Firdaus is the highest, and the one that is in the middle, and the one that is the best in Jannah. He says what is intended with this is not any believer, but those who have completed their faith. Those whom their faith became complete. Yeah. And their righteous deeds also. Who are these? These are the Anbiya and the very close servants of Allah. Now who knows a measure stick? There's a scale for one of us to measure whether his iman is perfect or not. Does anyone know anything? Many ahadith. There's one very common one that we quote often. This is how each one of us can easily measure himself. Has my iman become complete, or I have deficiency in iman? Barakallah feek. None of you truly believes, and none of you will reach the complete faith until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So now you picture yourself. Picture yourself. You have your favorite t-shirt, your favorite jeans, your favorite shoes, your favorite socks, your favorite all that stuff. And you see a brother and you love this brother, and your iman is so strong that you just want to take them all off and wear regular clothes and give them to this brother because you love him. You love for him what you love for yourself. Very often, we can't do that. Say, man, that's my thobe, man. That's my shirt, man.
That's the only one, man.
Huh?
That's the only one.
Yeah. There's more than that. I mean, there's many different measurement scales, but this is one. If you really think about it, this should. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feek.
In our office.
So really, sometimes you measure yourself, say, man, I'm far away. Sometimes you're having a sandwich, man, and you know you could offer your brother just half of it, and a person would just be in the sandwich. I'm not eating anything. Why? Because you're afraid that he may ask for a bite, or you may share a bite with him. Why? Because our iman is not really there. not really there. Allah musta'an. But yeah, we could strive on fixing it, but this is one easy way for us to measure, do we really have reached perfect faith or not? There are many other narrations with the same thing. None of you truly, whomever believes in Allah in the last day, let him honor his guest. So if a guest comes to your house, you honor him. Indication of Iman. Honor your neighbor. Likewise. Tayyib, whomever believes in Allah in the last day, let him either say something good or remain silent. All these are measurement scales for one of us to measure his Iman. So the Shaykh said what is intended here possibly, that this verse is specific for those whom their Iman has become complete along with their righteous deeds, and this is only for the Prophets and the Messengers and the very close people to Allah. These are the ones that are intended in this verse. Verily, those who believe and do righteous deeds, they will have Jannah al-Firdaus. It's those people being spoken about, not me and you and everybody else. But وَيُحْتَمَلْ أَنْ يُرَادْ بِهَا جميع منازل الجنان فيشمل هذا الثواب جميع طبقات أهل الإيمان من المقربين والأبرار والمقتصدين كل بحسب حاله وهذا أولى المعنيين لعمومه ولذكر الجنة بلفظ الجمع المضاف إلى الفردوس ولأن الفردوس تطلق على البستان المحتوى على الكرم والأشجار الملتفة وهذا صادق على جميع الجنة. The Shaykh said, or another way possible interpretation or understanding of this verse is that what is intended by Firdaus is all of Jannah and not the specific one that we're speaking about. Why? He will mention why. He says, so this would include all of the reward for all the various levels of Iman, for all the people who wind up making it to Jannah, from those who are close and those who are pious and those who barely get by, those who just do the necessary, each according to his own situation. He said this interpretation is more deserving of being accepted. This is a better position than the first one, which is just to say that this is only for the special believers. And he will say why. He says why? Because the term Firdaus in the Arabic language is a description of a bunch of gardens. Whenever you have a bunch of gardens that have grapes and have a lot of trees that are all, you know, on top of each other, this is called in Arabic Firdaus. And this applies to all of Jannah. So here Firdaus, what is intended meaning all of Jannah is considered Firdaus, but we're not speaking about the particular Firdaus that is under the throne of Allah, the one that is for the high VIPs. You understand what I'm saying? Because this could be the case where all of Jannah is being considered as Firdaus, but we're not speaking about that particular Firdaus. Because here the verse says, verily all those who believe and do righteous deeds, they will get that. طيب فجنة الفردوس نزل وضيافة لأهل الإيمان والعمل الصالح وأي ضيافة أجل وأكبر وأعظم من هذه الضيافة. He says really the Jannah of Firdaus is the Nuzul. Nuzul is when you go down to a hotel and you rest and you stay for this number of days. This is called Nuzul in Arabic. طيب. So Allah Azza wa Jal called it a Nuzul, meaning this is where they will go down, unpack and take a vacation. Of course their vacation will be eternal, but this is what is intended. He says, so this is for the people of Iman and the people of righteous deeds. And what better hospitality is there and more great and more beautiful than this? Meaning being going down, not to a 5-star hotel, not to a motel, not to a neighbor, not to a relative. You're going down to Jannah. What better than that? To take some vacation from this dunya that is going to end sooner or later. What better way to finish your career? You know, after you work all these years and you retire, you want to go to a nice place in the dunya. You go, people go to Hawaii and find the nicest beach, and they want to free themselves and take a break from the hard years of work. Hard years of work. They want to relax. But even if you go down in Hawaii and you see some nice scenes, it's not perfect. You may have a problem with the cashier. You may be robbed from your money. You may see some haram women walking around on the beach. You're not really going to have a complete vacation. You will still be confined with the dunya, which is full of problems and calamities and difficulties and hardships and agony and you know, and no matter how good it gets, it doesn't get that good. Look, if you go on vacation and you have all the things in the world, and you lose your wallet, wallah, you will not enjoy yourself for half a second. Have you ever lost your wallet before?
Yes.
You know the feeling?
No.
Your money's in there, your driver's license, your iqama maybe, everything in it. Oof, what a feeling. Wallah, inshallah, you're in Hawaii at the beach, and everybody's having fun. You sit in there, you cannot even enjoy yourself even half a second. Why? Because your wallet, where's my wallet? You want your wallet, you know what I'm saying? Any little thing like that can ruin all the goodness for you. In Jannah, none of that stuff. If you want to compare the real vacation, after this life is over, they put you in the grave, and you go to the hereafter, this is where you actually finally settle down. You put all the problems behind, no more agony, no more working, no more making money, no more problems with the kafil, no more problems sending money back to the Philippines, no more nothing. Khalas, all done, deal. But what? How do you get there today? Iman, righteous deeds. So don't busy yourself, I speak to myself first, with nonsense, thinking you're going to have a good life here. Never. No way, Jose, as they say. It may get good, but it will not be consistent. It may get good, but you will not get it in the hereafter. And the intelligent person favors that which is long-lasting over that which is short. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense to enjoy your 30, 40 years that you live, and then you go to Jahannam al-Iyadu Billah for eternity. That doesn't make any sense. But the disbelievers make that particular choice. They say, I live only once. They say, come on man, you live only once. Enjoy life. Exactly, we have the opposite mentality. We live only once, man. We better make good, so we make something good out of it, so we can succeed in the hereafter. The fact that you live only once, meaning you're not going to come back to fix it up. Waalaikum salam. But look at the mentality of the believer versus the disbeliever. You will find there's a huge gap, man. They look at life that live once and enjoy it. We look at life, live once, and make sure you go to Jannah in this life. Subhanallah. Al-Muhim. So what is better than that? This Jannah that contains the pleasure of the Al-Muhtawi ala kulli na'imin al-qulubi wal-arwahi wal-abdan. Jannah that contains every possible pleasure for the hearts, for the souls, and for the bodies. وَفِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسُ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ. And in it is that which the soul seeks and desires, and what is pleasing to the eye. مِنَ الْمَنَازِلِ الْأَنِيقَةِ وَالرِّيَاضِ النَّاضِرَةِ وَالْأَشْجَارِ الْمُثْمِرَةِ. From the nice homes and residences, and the nice beautiful gardens that are fresh and in perfect condition, and the trees with the fruits hanging from them. قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةً. قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةً, meaning the fruits of the tree will be down towards the person who will be reclining. You know, so even if you get if you are in Jannah and you want to get a fruit from the tree, you don't have to get no ladder. You know, come put the ladder up and say, you know, go through some bunch of hard work and go pick up the apple. Say, hey man, give me a stick over here. Bring the apple down. None of that stuff. You look at it and the tree will go down to you, and just pick it up while you're laying over. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. And you'll have an apple that tastes nothing like this apple, huh? No seeds and none of that stuff. And you don't have to go to the bathroom afterwards. You only sweat, and the sweat will smell like musk. This is the digestive system of the people of Jannah. No more bathroom, no more blowing your nose, no more spitting, no more cleaning your ears, no more none of that stuff. Brushing your teeth, khalas, done. So over there, kullu yantahi, alhamdulillah. But we have to make it there first. This is where we sometimes forget. We just dream about it, but we don't do nothing about it. Allah al-musta'an. Tayyib. وَالطُّيُورُ الْمُغَرِّدَةُ الْمُشْجِيَةُ وَالْمَآكِلُ اللَّذِيذَةُ وَالْمَشَارِبُ الشَّهِيَّةُ وَالنِّسَاءُ الْحِسَانُ. Oof, this is a dangerous one. Let's see, I'm going to record this one. Anyways, for also there will be birds. Birds that will be just flying around with their beautiful sounds that they make. That's why we don't enjoy music here, so we can enjoy the music of Jannah, which will be halal. Also, there will be delicious meals and delicious beverages. And beautiful woman.
Mashallah.
Yeah. That needs a session on its own. There's many narrations describing the condition of the woman in Jannah and how nice they are compared to the one in the dunya. Although the ones in the dunya are, يعني, alhamdulillah, it's good, that's why you married. But it's not. There's no comparison, really. There's no comparison whatsoever. But this needs its own discussion. Anyways, but the better you do here, the more you will get there. طيب والخدم والولدان والأنهار السارحة والمناظر الرائقة والجمال الحسي والمعنوي والنعمة الدائمة. Also, you will have servants who come around, bring you the stuff, bring you the wine that is free from intoxicants and it doesn't give you a headache. You know, it tastes delicious. Not the wine, not the khamr of the dunya. And also, you know, beautiful and rivers flowing. You know, and they say, Ibn Qayyim says, أَنْهَارُهَا جَرَتْ بِغَيْرِ إِخْدُودٍ سُبْحَانَ مُمْسِكَهَا عَنِ الْفَيَضَانِ. The rivers of the Jannah flow without having any ditch. You know, like Niner have a river, there's a place where the river flows. In Jannah, they just flow on the surface. سُبْحَانَ مُمْسِكَهَا عَنِ الْفَيَضَانِ. Ibn Qayyim says, glory be to the one who withholds it from overflowing. If you put some water right now like this, it goes everywhere. It's not going to go on a stream. But in Jannah, it will do that. And you direct it whichever way you want. The people will direct it, as it comes in the narrations and the explanation of the Mufassirin, that you direct the rivers of Jannah in whichever direction. Now there's rivers of honey, and rivers of milk, and rivers of water, as it comes in the narration. All of them that will not go bad. Just beyond your imagination. And all this is only names. The reality, yes. The reality of that is beyond us right now. All we can do is imagine. And, you know, he says, and tangible and intangible beauty. Yeah, things that you see, pleasure that you will see with your eyes, and pleasure that you will feel in your heart. And eternal bounty. It will never end. Never, ever end. No one will ever make a call in Jannah, say, khalas, party's over, ma'a salama, everyone leave, everyone die, no more pleasure, you've had a lot of fun. Never. For eternity. What is eternity? Eternity.
Never ending.
Doesn't end. Yeah, say after 100 million, 1,000 bazillion years, it doesn't end. It continues. SubhanAllah, all this. So the son of Adam can come here and believe and do some righteous deeds. Wallahi, it's a simple task. It is not much required. You've given the intellect, you've given the eyes, you've given the ears, revelation came, prophets came, messengers came, the natural way you were born, everything came supporting you like this, from every angle for you to believe so you can be successful. And the people say, leave me alone, man. I'm okay. How are you okay? But the people don't understand. Otherwise, you really don't, it doesn't make any sense. What do you think you're doing here on earth? What are we doing here on earth? If this was not the reward of the hereafter, what are we doing here on earth? Why are we being tested by Allah? If it's not to make a distinction between the truthful one and the liar, between the believer and the disbeliever, what's the objective of life? This is the objective of life. But the disbelievers do not understand. طيب. وأعلى ذلك وأفضله وأجله التنعم بالقرب من الرحمن ونيل رضاه الذي هو أكبر نعيم الجنان والتمتع برؤية وجهه الكريم وسماع كلام الرؤوف الرحيم. He says, now we've mentioned all the things that are of lesser importance. What is even better than all of that? What is even better than all of that? And more virtuous is the bounty of being close to the most merciful and attaining his pleasure. That's one thing. If you make it to Jannah, then you will be close to Allah inevitably. Furthermore, you will attain His pleasure. Otherwise, you would have not made it to Jannah to begin with. This is even better than all of the things that were mentioned earlier. Not only that, this is the best bounty in Jannah, and also the pleasure of looking at the face of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, many Muslims and non-Muslims to begin with have a misunderstanding about this concept of looking at the face of Allah. And some Muslims, may Allah guide them, deny it. They deny it because they say that you cannot say that Allah has a face. You cannot say that Allah has a face. Is this correct or incorrect?
Incorrect.
Does Allah have a face?
Yes.
Does Allah have a face?
Allah, yes.
Do we know what it looks like?
No.
Can we ever imagine it?
No.
Does it look like that of His creation?
No.
That's all that we need to know. You don't deny what Allah says in the Quran. Everybody knows Surah Ar-Rahman? كل من عليها فان، ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. Everyone who's upon earth shall be gone, and that which will remain is the face of your Lord, full of honor and dignity. Subhanallah. You do not deny the Quran, but the problem is people have to imagine a human being. Ya akhi, Allah teaches you in the Quran, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There's nothing similar to Allah. Allah is unique in His Lordship. Allah is unique. He's the only one who creates. Allah is unique in the only one who deserves to be worshipped. And Allah is unique in His names and attributes. There is nothing like Allah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like unto Him. Nothing. So when you confirm the face, you do not have an image in your mind of what the face is like. Why? Because this is not of the knowledge that you know. But Allah told us this Quran is guidance. And what is in the Quran is guidance. So you do not deny the Quran because you are trying to avoid something else. Rather, you follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ and the early companions and the early scholars. All of them confirm these things. Allah said He has a face. You say Allah has a face. What does it look like? You cannot imagine. Why? There's nothing similar. You understand this? I've given this example before, but maybe some of you were not here. I'll give it to you again, so you will understand what I'm saying. Because this is part of the belief system of the sound Muslim. Because some Muslims don't understand this. They invent a new phone. Not even. A new phone. Called CSAT 65H. Tayyip? This phone, I buy it. And I want to encourage Brother Khalid to buy a similar phone. Now the problem with this phone is that there isn't a single phone in the market that looks like it. Nothing. It's a brand new concept of phone. Even its appearance doesn't appear like a phone, but it is a phone. How in the world would I explain it to Mr. Khalid? Better than the phone. A new animal was discovered, and the animal's name is Shashushu. I just make up. I make these things up. Don't worry about it. Don't be looking online where it's Shashushu. There's no Shashushu. This animal doesn't look like any other animal. It's not a mammal that walks in four legs and then it delivers. It's not a fish. It's not a bird. Every species of animal, this animal is brand new, something way out. How in the world am I going to tell you what this animal looks like? If there was an animal similar to it, if it was like among the species of alligators, I would say, you know how the alligator is? You say, okay, your mind will start putting an alligator in your mind. Huh? See, it has a bigger head. So you imagine an alligator with a bigger head. Huh? Its feet are wider. You build an image. Then whatever information I give you, you use the image you have in your mind to build upon it. Until you imagine somewhat what this new animal looks like. If there's nothing like this animal, where am I going to begin? It doesn't have legs. For me to tell you, you know how the legs of a giraffe look? It doesn't have any. It's not similar to anything. You cannot possibly imagine. Even if I tell you things, your mind cannot. Can your mind create an image? Because you don't have anything to base it on. If this is the case with something very simple, which is the creation of Allah, then what about the Creator? If I try to describe something, you've never seen something similar to it before, you cannot possibly create an image that would be valid. You may think of something, but can you say that the animal looks like that? I may tell you a big, big head. Tayyip, you imagine a big, big head. What color? What are the features? What does the nose look like? Your mind may imagine something, right or wrong, but after you come up with the image, can we say that this image is according to the reality of this animal? Impossible. Why? Because you don't know. You're just guessing. You're guessing. So with that said, you cannot, if this is with the creation, then what about Allah Azza wa Jal? You cannot possibly understand or to begin to understand what Allah Azza wa Jal is like, because Allah teaches in the Quran in Surah Shura verse 11, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like unto Him. Nothing. So you cannot have an image, you cannot build upon this image. Because you don't have these things, leave it alone. Leave it alone. If Allah wanted you to know, Allah would have revealed an image of Himself, Azza wa Jal. Allah would have informed us. He would have made the Prophet ﷺ describe Him. The fact that that wasn't given to us, that's none of our business. You want to see Allah? Go to Jannah. You want to make it there? You will see Allah Azza wa Jal in Jannah. As the Prophet ﷺ promised us that you will see your Lord the same way you see the moon on a clear night. And you will not be bothered by you will not be disturbed. It's clear to see the moon. Likewise, you will see your Lord. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ Faces on that day glowing to its Lord, looking. Clear verses from the Quran. The bottom line is that the believers will see Allah Azza wa Jal, and it comes in the narration that there is no pleasure comparable to that pleasure. From all the things that they will have in the Jannah, from the woman they will enjoy, and the beauty of the life, and the ease, and the castles, and everything. This is all one category of pleasure. But then looking at Allah Azza wa Jal is something that is way beyond. It will make them forget about everything. And they will see Allah Azza wa Jal often. Usually it comes in every Jumu'ah. The same way you go to Jumu'ah, now, on the Day of Judgment there is a Jumu'ah. But it is not going to be any khutbah. Rather, it will be going to visit Allah Azza wa Jal and to look at Him. And Allah will speak to one of us if we make it to Jannah. He will say, my servant, haven't I given you this? Haven't I given you this? Haven't I given you this? Haven't you say, oh Allah, you have honored me. Oh Allah, you have... He says, ask. He says, Allah, what else am I going to ask for? He said, didn't you want this? Allah will remind you of the things that you wanted that you don't remember asking for. Then Allah will say, I will give you my pleasure so I will never be dissatisfied with you again. Many different narrations that we need to read in order to understand the affairs of the Day of Judgment, because that will make you look forward to that day and work hard for it so you not be lazy. If you don't know these things, you just say whatever, it's all good, man, I go to the masjid. Going to Jum'ah early is very much associated with the reward you get in the hereafter. As it comes, the closer you are to the Imam, the closer you will be to Allah Azza wa Jalla on the Day of Judgment and on that Day of Jum'ah. So don't come into the masjid and catch the farthest line in the way back and grab a seat on the pole. Go to the front. It is not for Saudis only or for Arabs only. This is for the house of Allah, for the creation of Allah. Inshallah, you're from anywhere. Go stand in the front line. Don't be ashamed of no one. Don't worry about no one. You don't have to be a scholar so you can be behind the Imam. You just have to be a brother who goes early enough to be behind the Imam. So, yani, encourage me not to go just 20 minutes before the Imam goes in the minbar, because then you'll be in the 5th, 6th row if you make it there. Al-Muhim, they will see Allah on the Day of Judgment, and Allah, they will hear the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, the most forgiving, the most merciful. And with that, we will conclude inshallah. We are at verse 108 towards the end. We still have 109 and 110. And we're very much close, but I'm running out of time for the recorder. And so inshallah we will finish Surah Al-Kahf then basically next week, and we will automatically begin with either Fatiha or Al-Baqarah. We've done Fatiha before. How many were here for the tafsir of Fatiha and other occasions? Not that many. So we'll do the Fatiha again inshallah, then we'll begin the book from Fatiha, moving on to whatever Allah Azza wa Jal allows us to have. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us our deeds and to make Him sincere for His sake, and to allow us to fulfill the obligations of Islam, perform righteous deeds, and pardon us for our sins and our shortcomings, and hopefully gather us in a better place than this place, which is Jeddah Da'wah Center, out in Jannah, and Firdaus Al-A'la with the Prophets and the Messengers. هذا والله أعلم والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.